Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight is Ian Mountaineer and the Reverend Captain Pickens. And we are going to get into the news here about a little bit by Ian.
We're going to get the news?
A little bit of good news from the federal thugs in regards to marijuana prohibition. We'll talk about what they're talking about doing. And they are just talking at this point. It's been a long process of continually talking about doing something different. We'll explain what they're talking about coming up in moments. But first, we go to the phones with Dana on the line in Michigan, listening in Grand Rapids, WTKG. Go ahead, Dana.
Well, because I'm in Michigan, Ian, I wanted to comment on the water scandal that Gretchen Whitmer is trying to cover up in Benton Harbor. Instead of having that report sent in Greek, why didn't she just store it on Hillary's server? Because nobody would find it.
That's cute. What you're referring to, for listeners that are just tuning into the show, is apparently there's news in Michigan about a Freedom of Information Act request looking for information about Flint, Michigan, that I'm not sure what's going on in Benton Harbor, but maybe something similar. But apparently somebody who requested documents in relation to what bureaucrats were writing to one another in regards to Flint and its water situation, looking for any emails, for instance, that had the word Flint in them, was not successful in finding a certain set of emails that were written in Greek because, well, the word Flint would appear differently, and so therefore it wouldn't meet a standard search for, you know, looking through an email box or whatever. So this was apparently the scandal. Is that your understanding of it, Dana?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, women have absolutely positively reached equality, and they have for years. These women politicians, we've got three that are running things here. Whitmer, Dana Nessel, the Attorney General, and the Secretary of State.
Mentioned that they're women. Do you think that female politicians are somehow worse than male politicians?
Absolutely.
I mean, they all seem to be a bunch of power-sick freaks.
No, they are. I don't disagree with you on that, Ian. But these women, I think the captain said these politicians are bastards. Well, these women are a B word, but the other. And I don't like when people call people names. It destroys your own credibility in your argument. But I'm telling you, if you could ever use the B word against women, these women, actually, they're beyond Bs. They're just pure evil. The stuff that is going on in this state is unbelievable.
I don't disagree with you about these women. I'm just telling you, the men are also pure evil.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the Democrats and the Republicans. They're all pure evil.
I don't think everyone is pure evil, but what I'm saying is...
I know, you don't think Republicans are pure evil either.
No, I didn't say that, and I would appreciate if from this day forward you stop putting words in my mouth. You wait until Ian disconnects me, and then you completely, oppositely rephrase what I just said. I have said this before, Peakless. We all need to be on the same side because I'm going to tell you the people on the far left eat their own. I said that two Saturdays ago, and you completely disregarded my comments.
All right, so we need a barometer. We need a litmus test to see if we're all on the same side. So, Dana, do you think that the government, federal government, is necessary for humankind to get by?
Probably not in its state as it is now.
That wasn't the question.
Yeah. Is it a yes or a no?
That's the answer.
Okay, do you think that it is necessary in any incarnation? In this one, in a previous one, in a possible future one? Because we don't.
Captain, you put me on the spot. So now I got to think through that there's so many facets of the government. Are you saying to get rid of the feds but put it to state and local?
That would be a great start, but if you think it all the way through, there is no reason to have a organization that claims a monopoly on violence to get people to interact appropriately when we can all do that by voluntary agreement.
Right, and I don't disagree with probably most of your statement. I've told you guys before that I have a, don't pick out one word and make a big damn deal about it. I have a libertarian bent. I don't, I do not believe in centralized government. I just don't. I don't see,
you believe in a different version of centralized government.
Let me rephrase the question then, Dana.
Okay.
Do you
go ahead.
Believe that there is any product or service provided by any level of government that can't otherwise be provided in a free market?
Well, you didn't say that the first time. You didn't say free market, because when I said to you, Captain, you put me on the spot, I was going with the elderly people and maybe handicapped people that get payments, that get assistance from the government, and I was trying to think, how are we going to get that to them so that they can still survive? But if you say free market or state or local, then I wouldn't have a problem with
that. Well, hold on. Now you're putting words in his mouth. He didn't say anything about the state or local government.
I said if.
Okay, that was a really long answer, though, so I'm not really clear if you actually gave a direct answer to the question. Can you ask the question one more time, Captain?
Sure.
I just want to make sure.
Is there a product or service provided by the government at any level that cannot be provided in the free market?
Yeah, I got to think about that.
You can take your time and get back to us
another time, another day.
But that's the point of view that I'm coming from, because I've thought about this for a long time, and I can't think of one thing that's provided by government, whether it's a product or a service, because those are the only things they provide or claim to provide, a product or a service that can't be otherwise provided in a free market scenario.
Are you talking about all levels?
Any level of government. I can't think of one thing that government provides that can't be otherwise provided in a free market, and generally speaking, for a lesser cost at a better value.
If I had to absolutely, if this was absolute, and I had to make a decision right now, I would say yay. I would probably have to agree with that. And don't pick out the word probably, because I haven't given it the depth of thought that you have, Captain.
Sure.
But I have no problem with, and never have, with capitalism. It has raised more people out of poverty than any other form of government. That is not personal opinion. That's not a conservative
opinion. Capitalism, the way you're using it, isn't a form of government.
I'm not saying
you said then any form of then any other form of government. So
no,
if I say then any other of this, then I'm calling that a this.
So okay, it sounds good what you're saying here, Dana.
Economic.
It sounds good what you're saying here, Dana. I just want to clarify. It sounds like you may be close to on the same page or flirting with being on the same page.
Probably, mostly.
Let's throw a couple of more specific questions out. How about?
Okay.
And you've listened long enough. I think I know what you're going to say to this, but you would agree with us then that there should be a complete end to the war on drugs, right? That that all drugs should be available in the market to whomever wants to buy or sell.
Well, we did talk about that 2 weeks ago when I called, and I told you, remember what I said, your civil rights are your civil rights as long as they don't infringe on mine. So if you want to do whatever you want to do, or sexually, it could be anything, whoever you want to do it with, as long as you don't shove that crap in my face or it doesn't impinge on me, like you don't drug and drive or drink and drive and kill
me
or my family.
So you're okay,
I'm okay with that.
With somebody selling heroin at a corner store?
Oh, Ian.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
You're asking her to be consistent in her principles now.
I'm trying to think on my feet, worst case scenario. Okay, so you got heroin, you got it locked up, and somebody breaks in. So then what? And then
that's
their
problem.
No, it's not theirs.
This happens at pharmacies frequently.
Who cares if it gets locked up or broken?
Right.
Consider tobacco. They've got it locked up behind the counter there. Someone can break in and end up having cancer. Yeah, okay.
Give me another question, Ian, because that one I'm going to have to. I don't have a problem if it. You know how they have pot stores everywhere? In fact, it's legal in Michigan, just like Colorado.
Yeah.
So they have regulated pot stores.
Right.
If you could go there and then you have to use it in your home where you're not, drug driving, then I guess not. I don't have a problem. The problem is the control of the substance. As long as they can control it where nefarious things aren't going to happen and then affect me or my children or somebody else's children, then I'm okay.
Are you saying that if a marijuana store gets broken into over while it's closed or something, that somehow is a problem for you?
Well, not the marijuana so much, but if it were heroin or coke or
why would that all of a sudden be a problem to you?
It could be alcohol, because if they drink drive or drug drive and they're criminals and they don't care, they're not going to, if they're going to.
Why would whether a store got broken into have to do with whether or not someone's going to go drink and drive?
Because they could kill me.
You know, people drink and drive all the time who buy their liquor legally, right? So what does having a store broken into have anything to do with this?
I have a really big issue with that.
Hold on. So, Dana, should we, put alcohol on, like, a Schedule I narcotics list and make sure that no one gets alcohol?
Well, I'm not against alcohol. I'm against how people use it and what they do when they're using
it. Great. I'm not against heroin, but I am against certain uses of it. And I think the solution there is the same as alcohol. Let people make their decisions, because it's the other things that they're doing that are the problem.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I don't have an issue with that stuff as long as you're just stay out of a car, because those things are just their tools of murder when they get going.
All right. And so another issue here, just another quick question.
Okay. No, go ahead.
Yep. All right. So I want to have my friends from Canada and Mexico come and live at my trailer park. I've got some empty trailers, and I've been having trouble getting people in there, but I know some people who want to move here from those other countries, and they would like to live in those trailers. Is that going to be okay?
Well, are you talking jumping the line?
I don't know what that means. They just want to come here from places known as Canada or Mexico.
So they would get a visitor's visa?
No. We're talking about freedom here.
No,
remember
we talked about this before, and this was 2 weeks ago, and Mark and I had a long conversation many moons ago.
I don't remember all the things that you've said to us. That's why I'm bringing this up.
If you get rid of, they can never vote. They can never become a citizen, and there's no welfare. That means school, hospitals, if they're dying, they cut their arm off or get it cut off. They bleed to death if they don't have insurance.
Okay, so right,
we're not paying. Then I got no problem with
it. No problem with it. Okay, that's fine.
So if voting and welfare and citizenship didn't exist,
right,
this is just an otherwise free area. People can come and go as they want to individually without harassment from any organization, then you're okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's some common ground.
You're pretty reasonable on this one, Dana.
Okay, hold on. I think I've got another one that you might be reasonable on.
You can ask, but let me just make this clear.
Sure.
I told you guys, I have never hidden the fact that I am a conservative, not a Republican, and because there's not much difference between the two parties, and there hasn't been for many, many decades, long before I was born. That being said, I'm a conservative with a libertarian bent. I want the government the hell out of my business.
Okay. And go ahead with your final question.
Yeah. How do you feel about the war on terror?
Well, okay. So this was back when the towers fell. I I'm going to say, share something personal. And Ian has tried to ask me questions over the years, personal questions, you know, about what denomination I am, faith-wise, blah, blah, blah. And I don't do that when I call in. But I'm going to share something. My own mother said, you know, Dana, I don't think it's a good idea to be taping one channel and having two other TVs watching the stuff. I did this for a whole year on all the major networks, and I watched this stuff over and over. So it became almost personal for me. That being said, and a girl I went to college with, her twin sisters were in one of the towers. They were not there. They were investment people. They were not there that day, thank God. But that being said, so it just
became personal. I didn't ask about that.
I know. I get that. I'm getting to this. So this is, I needed to, for you to know the history. So because of all that inundation, that was self-inundation, and the pain, and the children left fatherless and motherless and blah, 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 all of this stuff, I had no problem with them going after Osama. When Bush went in to Afghanistan, I was pissed because he didn't send, first of all, I'm a very organized, detail-oriented person. He should have finished the job he started and got Osama. The Saddam thing and the Afghanistan, the Saddam thing was nothing more than finishing the job Daddy couldn't finish. He was always like, kind of like the loser in the family. And, you know, because he was an alcoholic, and no disrespect to alcoholics, I know it's a struggle, but I'm just saying, he never lived up to the expectations of the father compared to the brothers. And this was his thing, that he was going to do the Saddam thing and then the Afghanistan thing. But I will add one more thing, you guys, and I'm not a feminist at all, but it kills me that the way they treat women and girls regarding school, jobs, what they have to wear, and it's not the feminist thing, and it's not a woman thing. I don't like the way they treat men either.
So you're in favor of the war on terror?
Well, I don't like when people hurt other people. I don't know.
So you're going to solve that by hurting people with dropping bombs?
No, there's got to be something else, and I just don't know what that else is.
So we can abandon our principles when we feel bad.
Well, here's what you can do. If you want, in a free world, okay, where there wasn't some U.S. military going around terrorizing people in the name of democracy and freedom, then if you felt like the Taliban or whomever is oppressing people in whatever area, whether it's, you know, Kim Jong-un in North Korea or the Taliban or Putin or, you know, you fill in the bad guy, then if you really felt strong enough about it, you could pool your money with other people who feel strongly about that, and you can hire a crack team of mercenaries to go over and drop bombs and shoot people and do all the terrifying, terrible things that people want to do in the name of quote-unquote freedom or whatever it is. And then those of us who don't want to participate in killing would have no blood on our hands because we wouldn't be forced to participate in it. So that's how you would handle that. If you really felt strongly and you thought more violence would solve the problem of violence, then you can go ahead and enact the violence or hire the people to enact the violence on your behalf. How about that?
Well, I'm surprised you're saying this because I know you can't remember every caller, every single thing they say for years and years because you've been at the station since its inception. But I've actually had that conversation when you and Mark used to do the Saturday show. I am more pro-military or a mercenary than I am the military thing. And I believe I want to take it one step further. I'm surprised Pequist said, quote unquote, the war on terror. The specific thing going on right now, a good example is Ukraine. It breaks my heart what's going on in Ukraine, but I do not, under any circumstances, believe we should be sending money there. And if for no other reason, because I absolutely believe they have no accounting whatsoever. And being organized, detail-oriented, and having a background in business as well as accounting and many other areas, nobody knows where that damn money is going.
Oh, somebody
and
knows.
I believe that it is.
Oh, you mistake yourself and you swallow propaganda. Somebody knows exactly where that money is going.
They it's will in their
tell
pocket.
Us, they will tell us all day long, well, we just don't know where those billions of dollars went. Just, I turned my head. And they were just gone.
I left it behind the couch, and now it's not there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dana, for the call. I do appreciate the discussion.
Yeah, they'll tell us all day long that they're
pretty good call for Dana.
Yeah. Like, she seems rational, at least mostly.
She's at least willing to try and logic it out. I give her that.
So we were talking about
my issue has never been that the hard leftists are not eating themselves or what have you. No, you're right. You're right. But so's the other side. Like, right now, you can actually watch the banks eat themselves.
Yeah, I liked what she said about the mercenary thing, and, like, I don't want to use that word, but, like, we're talking private security services here, right?
Okay.
At least for defense, right? Now, I think in your example, Ian, it was an offensive, right? You were like, if you feel that strongly and you want to have somebody go do violence,
pay for it,
or go do it yourself,
yeah.
Which is what I like to say to the politicians, right? These politicians want to warmonger all day long. Oh, we've got to take a stand
against
so-and-so.
They're not going to sign their son up, though.
They're not going over there themselves,
no.
Right? They're not picking up arms and putting on boots and going over there themselves.
No, there's your blood and treasure in this.
If their kids sign up, then they get a desk job, so they're not facing any kind of danger.
Yeah, no, it's always been the same thing. People are willing to spend an infinite amount of money on war. Politicians look at that and go, I'd like an infinite amount of money.
Yeah.
Let's go to war.
And the central
you know
banks
it,
make it possible.
Somehow, a bunch of that money always ends up in their companies.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And the central banks make it all possible. That's why war has been unending.
Yeah. And it will never end so long as these positions exist.
Right.
As long as people allow this set of rules for this kind of person and this set of rules for everyone else, then, of course, they will always take advantage.
And there was large controversy in 1913, every time, like the removal of the gold standard, right? Mm-hmm. Controversy. You can go look up microfilm. You can go to your library's website and read the headlines that were going on during those days. Not everybody was on board, and in fact, they called out all the things that have happened.
Yeah.
They're like, if we let this happen, we're going to see unending taxation. We're going to see wars that never end. We're going to see wars that have never been approved through the congressional process.
Yeah.
We're going to see,
and
all of these things have come true.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is they don't answer to us. They never have, and they never will. In 1913, they called out about that. They said exactly what was going to happen, but it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter if 100 years later we figure out that's exactly what is happening. They will not stop.
Well, at some point, their system may all crash down upon them. At some point. When that is, we don't know. But the number is here, 603-283-6160. In the meantime, some people are going to get high. And we'll talk about what that might mean from a legal aspect, because they may be changing something at the federal level.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA News Update. President Biden on Saturday toured parts of Florida that were ravaged by Hurricane Idalia. Singer-songwriter Jimmy Buffett died at the age of 76. He was as famous for his tunes such as Margaritaville and Cheeseburger in Paradise as for his laid-back style. Former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, well known for decades of Democratic Party politics, died at the age of 75. Richardson was the Energy Secretary and United Nations Ambassador in the Clinton administration and spent his later years trying to free detained Americans. Denzel Washington's The Equalizer 3 is expected to pull in at least $30 million and could become the second biggest Labor Day weekend opening in history. Another movie, Barbie, has overtaken the Super Mario Brothers movie as the top film of the year worldwide. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yeah. It's Free Talk Live. We have a few moments remaining, enough time for you. If you want to join the show, the number is 603-283-6160. Or maybe you prefer to call in on Beard Talk Live, which will be happening about an hour from now.
And then, Dana, you can call her a B-word. A you real can. Authentic B-word.
You can use that one on the radio. The C-word, on the other hand, you can't use that one on the radio.
So I'll be using that tonight. Beard Talk Live.
Yes, you will. Tune in at 10:30 Eastern Time. It's on our video streaming platforms. We're on, I don't know, 10 or 12 of them. But the one we like the most is Odyssey, and you can find it there at watch.freetalklive.com. That's watch.freetalklive.com. So go ahead and bookmark that now, and then go there at 10:30 Eastern, and you can see these guys doing, or listen. You don't have to watch them. But you can listen in or watch at your leisure.
I think it's completely serendipitous that you celebrate your, bringing the show to New Hampshire
on, 17 years ago, yeah.
On Labor Day weekend. I celebrate my first appearance on Free Talk Live on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
And also Beard Talk Live is celebrating its 52nd episode, 1 year's worth of programming, on Labor Day weekend. We didn't plan that.
Some people say there are no coincidences.
We didn't plan that. If I'd have thought about it before right now, we would have marketed it, in a way, like put up some, memes or something that said, hey, this is what we're doing. Everybody come celebrate with us. But, hey, here we are.
So here's the big news that we've been teasing all night so far about the federal thugs. And marijuana's status.
Let's get to it.
Which, if you know anything about its status at a federal level, you know it is on what is called Schedule 1 on the DEA's drug classification schedule. And Schedule 1 means that it has absolutely zero medical purpose, essentially. And so it's there with heroin, if I recall correctly, and LSD, which, of course, both have medical purposes.
I was going to say, all of those have medical
purposes. Yeah, they all have medical purposes. But, yeah, this is politics, this is government. And so
I'm the government, I don't see it. No. It's right there, but I don't see it.
But there's all these doctors, nope, not. We can't see that. But maybe now they might see it. And that's the proposal here, is the proposal from the Department of Health and Human Services has made a recommendation. According to MSN, and this is the Washington Post.
They recommend sativa over indica?
They have made a recommendation that marijuana be removed from the category reserved for the riskiest drugs, such as heroin, and moved to the one for certain prescription drugs, which would be Schedule 3 in this particular case. The decision to reclassify marijuana, however, ultimately resides with the Drug Enforcement Administration, which could take months to complete its evaluation. So there was another story that I read earlier about this, not on the air, but just on my own, where apparently the process is DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, is sending this recommendation to Biden. So Biden apparently asked for them to review the cannabis status, and this was like, I don't know, a year or something ago, and now they've completed their review, and they have determined that it should be moved to Schedule 3. Now they will send their review to the DEA, and they will take their time to
bureaucrats.
Review the DHHS.
I will fill out forms in triplicate, and we will notify the members of the board that this must meet in order to discuss
this. Yeah, this ain't happening tomorrow. It ain't happening next week. But it wouldn't surprise me if the DEA came down with their decision just before the election. I'm willing to put some money on that prediction.
What would make you think that, Ian?
Yeah, because, well, Biden's a terrible president, but he might be able to get the marijuana vote if he decides to essentially decriminalize it at the federal level.
Quick, how do I get minorities to vote for me?
Yeah, in the last minute. Well, it's not a minority thing, per se. There's people all over the place that use cannabis.
Now, mind you, he could have on day one said, hey guys, let's not focus on this at all. Now he can't make the DEA go away because that's an act of Congress,
but he
their
can boss.
Say, hey, as your boss,
right,
quit arresting people for pot. It's dumb. Yeah.
However, if the DEA gets high while they go through this process, it could take way more than months.
I don't see why it is he can't even tell the DEA to reschedule it. Rather than playing this political, oh, well, we have to have the DHHS.
Oh, you got to massage the news market.
We have to review over here. And then he could just say, I'm your boss. You're an executive department. You made the decision to put this on Schedule 1. I'm telling you, you're putting it on Schedule 3 right now. He could do that, I'm pretty sure, right?
Doesn't he request a judicial review for Ross Ulbricht?
Well, you could do that, too. Yeah. There's a lot of things he's not doing.
That's right.
Because,
but this one,
whatever.
Let them remember why they need us.
Yes.
To reclassify. We are Democrats. We will let you smoke pot. Yeah. Not like those dirty Republicans.
Yes. That's all
yes,
they
remember
got.
All those years of pot smoking you did before we even considered this. We didn't give you permission to do so. And so now we're putting together a committee to review whether or not we will give you permission to do a thing you've been doing anyway.
Right. And now the committee is going to be going to another committee who will then review the committee's review and so on and so forth. The nonprofit Veterans Cannabis Project has long pushed for veterans to get broader access to cannabis to treat post-traumatic stress disorders,
please,
depression, and chronic pain. Its founder said the DHHS recommendation to loosen restrictions offers some hope that the federal government will signal that marijuana has medical value. The founder says this is huge. It's what we've been working toward for years. Years, not just years, but decades. This has been going, this war on drugs has been going on since the early 1970s. It is now more than 50 years.
And that's
not, including the prohibition of marijuana, which goes back to the 30s. So it's almost 100 years, in the 90 years range. But the full-on war, of course, started under Nixon. While the measure would stop short of full national legalization, as many had hoped, it has the potential to help struggling cannabis companies in states where marijuana is legal, and then could remove barriers to scientific research into the health benefits of the drug.
Yes, but are they going to allow people who do business in marijuana to have a bank account.
I think that's the suggestion here, that this may somehow help with that, because it would not be a completely prohibited substance.
I mean, if you're, if you're in a marijuana business and you don't have a bank account, crypto is your friend.
Yeah. Multiple requests to reschedule marijuana in the past have failed. Most recently in 2016, the Obama administration's DEA denied a request from two Democratic governors to change the classification. At the time, they cited concerns that cannabis had a high potential for abuse, no accepted medical use in the United States, and lacked an acceptable level of safety for use even under medical supervision. But the experts say this time will be different, perhaps. Their recommendation from the Department of Health and Human Services became public nearly a year after Biden, in a presidential first, asked the health agencies to evaluate whether it should be reclassified. If the DEA follows this recommendation, that would place marijuana in the same category as anabolic steroids, ketamine, and testosterone, which can all be obtained with a prescription. So again, this is not a huge deal in that it's not, you know, going to be legal federally to just have and use marijuana.
Yeah.
But at the very least, it will remove it from Schedule 1, where it has been for decades.
And hey, if you're going to put it on there, it kind of makes sense to skip over Schedule 2, because the second that you admit, hey, this treats anxiety, then you also have to admit, wait, maybe all these people who are using this for their anxiety are not abusing it.
Huh. Exactly. So, with an increasing roster of states legalizing it, political momentum, of course, is growing in favor of a change in the federal government's treatment of marijuana. And as we all know, politicians love to run out in front of a parade. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately what Joe Biden is doing here, who, oh yeah, wasn't he the, like, tough-on-crime guy in the 1990s who passed, like, a tough-on-crime crackdown on
drugs? Those urban jungles.
Yeah, crackdown on drugs, but except for his son, of course. He's fine with the crack. But
he cracked down on everybody else, gave him to his son.
Yeah. Well, the drugs had to go somewhere.
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, this is honestly some very hard stuff to make movement on in the political world, because you are cutting into the black budget of the CIA by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really, really, really attached to their black budget.
Not necessarily with marijuana.
Are they running marijuana, though?
Oh, they're running everything.
Right, marijuana's big and bulky.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's probably the least... probably the lowest profit margin of any of the illegal drugs, right?
For the size of it, yeah, for sure.
Still, once you start moving on this, you might think about maybe cocaine actually has some medical use in that. That they will assassinate you over.
And at some level, too, they're probably jealous of all of the taxation that the state governments who have legalized it in their states are raking in by dictating how marijuana shops have to be run and taxing them, you know, one-third at the growers, one-third at the distributors, and one-third at the retailers or something around those lines.
Yeah, Washington's like 25%, I think, at each state.
Yeah, it's sick. It's sickening. These people have had no hand whatsoever in building these businesses. They've had no hand in operating them. They've put forth no capital investment, no time investment, and they're raping these people for 30% at every level.
Yeah, which means they're raping the consumer for all of that.
Correct.
What amazes me is the part that the states have played in that this is still illegal. So the states are actively breaking federal law in order to get their cash cow in this particular way.
Right.
So, rules for the and not for me, I guess.
Yeah, it's a classic case of monkey see, monkey do, right? It took one, we'll call it a state, one united state, to have some balls and go, well, we're just going to make it legal here in our state.
I think it was Colorado and Washington at the same time, wasn't it?
Well, almost. Colorado was first, technically.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's just say Colorado. Colorado went, you know what? We're going to make it legal in our state. We dare you to do something about it, federal government. And the federal government went, that is just not worth our time.
They blinked.
They just went, that's not worth our time.
Yeah.
Then they just start breaking the laws, the state.
Or they wanted to see what would happen, see how much money they could rape people for in taxation.
Oh, that is exactly what happened.
And go, oh, this looks profitable. because, you know, we're losing. The federal government always likes to say they're losing money whenever, like, something is accomplished and they no longer need to, you know, take as much money from a group. They're mm-hmm. like, oh, we're losing money. We've lost revenue, right?
Yeah.
Like, people, during COVID, people paid less in tolls for roadways,
right,
even though they've already paid for it. And they're like, oh, we lost so much revenue because of the COVID thing when people weren't, they didn't lose any revenue. They just weren't raping as many people.
Yeah. And Colorado definitely went through the process of figuring out exactly how much rape the people would put up with by sure. doing the sort of soft open
right.
that was the
medical
card. And Washington
State helped at that. California, of course, pioneered it with the medical marijuana stuff.
And, you know, I'm glad my instincts at the time told me, don't put yourself on that government list. Not for this price, not for any price. Just don't put yourself on any list whatsoever, because it turns out if you're on the medical marijuana list, you're never allowed to have a firearm. Ever.
Well, they're starting to change that, it sounds like. As I mentioned earlier, there has been a federal court decision that has found unconstitutional the law that prohibits cannabis users from having guns.
But they can't find the entire government itself unconstitutional.
No, unfortunately not. So Shane Pennington is a Washington, D.C. attorney who specializes in cannabis law. He predicts that the recommendation the DEA is reviewing from HHS will carry considerable weight. He says, historically, the DEA has never overridden a recommendation from HHS. So that sounds kind of optimistic. However, not everyone's convinced. Paul Armentano, who's the deputy director of NORML, which is the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, pointed out the DEA could try to keep marijuana in its current category, Schedule 1, as they did in 2016, by pointing to obligations under international drug treaties. He said, it'll be very interesting to see how they respond to this recommendation, given the agency's historic opposition to any potential change in cannabis categorization under federal law. So not everybody agrees as to how this is all going to play out. But under the Controlled Substances Act, Schedule 1 is reserved for drugs having what they call a high potential for abuse with little or no accepted medical use, which, of course, as we know, doctors all across the country are recommending marijuana for everything from chronic pain to PTSD to, you know, sleeping at night. Yeah. I mean, there's so many different people that have benefited from
this. Even just simple,
this.
Like, lack of appetite. Like,
yep.
like marijuana treats symptoms of other drugs. Somebody might get on a drug for a diabetes, cancer, or something, and, like, one of the side effects of these pharmaceuticals is lack of appetite.
Or nausea.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? Marijuana relieves those. Oh, weird.
And many times it relieves it with one toke.
Yeah.
It's not like these people who are using it for medical purposes are getting blasted on it.
Right.
Many of them, it's one drag. They get the effect they're looking for, and that's it. Or in some cases, they're not even using the smoked version. I used to know a guy who was a free stater who was taking a tincture, and it would solve his seizures that he would have otherwise regularly, just a little bit under the tongue, every few hours.
There's topical solutions, too, that contain the THC that you can, like, rub on yourself, or just, like, the patch for quitting smoking. You can have a THC patch on your arm.
But yet they put this in Schedule 1, where they say it has little to no medical use, which is ridiculous.
And a high potential for abuse, because apparently that's a big part of which schedule it's on.
Oh,
so
man.
Low to moderate potential abuse is Schedule 3. Dude, go all the way to Schedule 4. Honestly, can you think of, like, oh, they're abusing marijuana? I don't know any stories about that.
No.
Now, plenty of drugs. I know lots of stories about abusing them.
I've seen
alcohol, for example.
Well, I have seen marijuana be abused, but I have not seen people abuse marijuana. Like, I've seen people do some nasty stuff with their marijuana.
Oh, I don't know, man. Somebody, like, took a bag of mine and chucked it out a window in a moving car.
That's what I'm talking
about.
That's
marijuana
abuse. Yeah, that is abuse of the marijuana.
Hey, you know what else has little to no medical use?
Government.
Government, yeah, very good. Little to no medical. They should be, like, abolished.
They have, like, no use whatsoever.
If they were a substance, I could chuck them in the ocean and we'd all be better off.
Let's see. So, as you said, Schedule 3 is a designation applied to drugs with moderate to low potential for physical or psychological dependence and some medical value. According to a Vanderbilt Law School professor, Robert Mikos, he says that's a big deal. It would be the first time that the federal government has concluded that. And, of course, reclassifying a drug is a complicated administrative process.
No, it isn't.
Before, it's just somebody writing something on paper.
I assure you, they have made this process as complicated as well as they can to get more jobs. As long as we can hire more bureaucrats. Let's complicate the process a little further.
Everybody's got to justify their BS salary. So before the HHS can recommend the reclassification of the drug, which has just happened, the FDA had to conduct a medical and scientific review using what is called a eight-factor analysis. It considers the potential for abuse, the history of abuse.
And the EPA had to do a study on the carbon footprint of more marijuana farms.
I'm surprised that's not in here, but they also had to review scientific evidence of its pharmacological effect. They sent the review to HHS, which then uses it as its basis of recommendation to the DEA. That agency then conducts its own analysis, which involves issues beyond the scope of the health agencies. So this week, the big news we're talking about here is the fact that HHS sent a letter to the DEA, including its recommendation to change the schedule of cannabis.
We have had a bunch of alphabet agencies uselessly gyrate for no apparent reason, and we may arrive at a conclusion at a much later date as a result.
I mean, I know your nervous system has, like, cannabinoid receptors, so you're biologically, you know, made for this substance to have healthful effects, but we just don't think that there's any medical use.
Apparently, if it is reclassified, legal experts say they believe the FDA would continue to take a hands-off approach to state-regulated marijuana markets, though in states with medical programs, doctors are currently offering recommendations, not prescriptions. Prescriptions, apparently, can only be written by doctors for FDA-approved drugs. The FDA, they say, has a lot on its plate, said the Maine Office of Cannabis Policy.
Yeah, they have food and drugs.
I'm not concerned, he says, as the chief cannabis regulator, that the FDA is going to turn my regulatory program or markets in my state upside down. So what else do you need to know here?
Yeah, I will say that there is tremendous pressure on them not to recategorize these things because it's a threat to the alcohol industry, which is where a lot of politicians get their bread buttered.
Big time.
If it's the Food and Drug Administration, then shouldn't they be the ones giving me my marijuana?
You don't want that. They actually did have a government program for years under Prohibition where I don't know what the original number was, but like the patients were getting government-issued cannabis. They would get it like once every few months or something like that.
There used to be tales of every month weed and how potent it was. Mm. And like
it was supposedly good, which is surprising. Like, how did that end up happening?
Because they had no, what do you call it, no limit budget to growing the best kind.
Yeah, but usually they fail at everything that they do. True. So that was like the bizarre thing there.
Yeah, did they pull a NASA where they just like plucked all of the best people from the free market that were like amazing at this?
The first
and
people
gave them a government job?
Yeah.
The first people to take the government jobs were probably lifetime growers anyway. Mm. Because they were like, oh, I can make money at this without being in the black market? Yes, let me go do that.
Here's the numbers, by the way. It's 23 states and D.C. have legalized recreational cannabis, and medicinal use is lawful in 38 states. So, again, supermajority, I think, there of states that have medical programs.
Wait, I got it. The Food and Drug Administration means that anybody who is a part of that, an employee of the Food and Drug Administration, means they administer drugs and food to themselves. So they're basically sitting around all day getting high and snacking.
Under companies that grow and sell cannabis, the reclassification would have significant tax implications. Under IRS Code 280E, businesses that sell marijuana are taxed on gross income and are not allowed to deduct business expenses. So I guess that would change, I suppose, the tax code.
Yeah, you know that building that you had to have to either lease or build?
Yep,
can't write that off. Oh, you know the transportation vehicles you use to move the marijuana from point A to point B? Yep, can't write those off.
Yeah, apparently that's the thing businesses do is they write off a lot of these expenses. And the tax code results in a substantially higher tax rate for cannabis companies, which have often razor-thin profit margins if they make any profit at all. She's Matt Darren, who's the executive chief at Curaleaf, which operates dispensaries in 19 states. He says it's been debilitating for the industry having that amount of tax go to the government. I think it's going to have a phenomenal impact on the industry to be able to take all of those funds and reinvest them into more jobs, more construction projects, more research, and product development.
Is that a sinister thought? What if this is all just laying infrastructure for government to come in and take over
these places, because, you know, government's not going to build this stuff themselves. They're not going to, you know, form these organizations between the growers, the distributors, and the retailers. But if their profit margin is so thin, right, that most of the stores are going to make it, then guess what? Some politician can jump out in front of the parade. I'm going to save the marijuana stores and the marijuana growers by nationalizing these stores in this process. And now, just like the liquor stores here in New Hampshire, you can only buy marijuana from a government store.
I hope that doesn't happen. Unfortunately, that is one of the proposals that seemed to gain some traction in New Hampshire, would be to have the state. You're talking about the federal government taking it over, though?
Any government, really. Okay. But, okay. You know, whatever. Yeah. I mean, does it matter which government like eyes this up and goes, hey, their profit margin's so thin, all these fledgling marijuana businesses are just not doing well. We can't figure out why. Mm-hmm. They're not going to, like, oh, you don't have to pay any more taxes and see if that helps your business. They're not going to do that. Instead, they're going to run out in front of the parade and go, oh, we'll save the marijuana retailers for all you dope smokers out there who still want to be able to buy your marijuana at a store. And now they can, like, it's all their revenue now. Not just the tax revenue. Now it's all their revenue when they take over.
Yeah, so far New Hampshire's been really good at striking down any of the really terrible bills that have gone through. Unfortunately, we had a decent one that also got struck down in the process. Yeah. And for my part, I honestly only care about one thing. Are you going to just treat this like a plant when I grow it or not?
Right.
I don't care about buying it in a store and the taxes I've got to pay. Look, I'm used to that. I'm used to there being a tobacco tax and an alcohol tax. Okay, I get it. But can I just grow the friggin' plant?
Right.
Yeah, the thing I don't understand about this is why they think, and you know, I'm not a tax expert or anything like that or an accountant, but why would it be that IRS code would change? They're saying this code tells businesses that sell marijuana to pay taxes on gross income and they can't deduct business expenses. Why would moving it from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3, which is still a prohibition, it's just, we'll allow you to write a prescription for this prohibited subject.
Well, you don't understand it, Ian, because it's code. You're not supposed to understand code.
But I guess I'm questioning whether or not this would actually affect these businesses. They think it would. The president of the Virginia Cannabis Association says it almost immediately overnight turns good operators into profitable businesses.
Well, as code, this is cryptographically secure depression.
Major Payne is on the line here with us in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on the DEA and the marijuana.
Good touch about touch.
You got about 30 seconds.
I was listening to an interview from a woman that was the head of a research department at some university, and she was researching pot, right? And she said, being as how she's got to follow all these government rules, the only place she can get her pot to do her test with is from DEA.
All right, you can tell the rest of the story coming up in about 30 minutes on Beard Talk Live. I suspect Major will be one of your callers tonight.
I suspect as well.
He's pretty regular on that. Check them out over at watch.freetalklive.com. About a half an hour, 10:30 Eastern, for Beard Talk Live's 52nd episode. Congratulations, you guys.
Thanks, man.
We'll see you tomorrow night otherwise.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and ExtendoVite is all natural. ExtendoVite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.